and F.
Awesome
podcast.
Hey man, you want to play some video games?
Let's go.
On your mark, get set, terrible.
Welcome to the BNS Awesome Podcast. I'm Scott.
And I'm Fernando Ricardes.
We call him Roberto Jr. Welcome back. It's been a little while. I was in Mexico, and then I've had computer issues, and yeah, so that was fun.
He's lying. He took his anniversary off because he's a family man. He has a family. Oh. He's lying to you.
I wish. No, it was almost $400 to get the computer going again. That sucked.
Tell us about this. What's wrong with your computer? Some sort of card? Some sort of shard?
Some sort of shard card? My motherboard went on the computer, so it was...
That's not a vital component at all.
Not at all. I guess I still get 20 frames per second with that. I haven't been able to record due to that reason. Can't put it on anything if you can't transfer it.
My God, you're telling me you don't have, like, backup computers? I know you have a field recorder somewhere.
I know, but without the computer...
You should have a laptop. You should have a Mac laptop that you don't know how to use because you're a Windows man.
I am a Windows man. I do have a laptop, but it's from like, it's older than my car, which is quite old in laptop years. It's like 92 dog years.
I got like laptops from like 1999, baby. They work.
This one does not. But yeah, how have you been?
I've been busy working. I went to Odafest. Other than that, I've been working nonstop.
How was Odafest?
It gets worse every year. I guess I'm just not the target audience anymore.
Really?
Also going without your friends is just... But anyhow.
That sucks. It sucks that it's going downhill. All the pictures I saw, because I'm on the Odafest like website or Facebook.
Instagram or something.
Yeah, something like that. And it looked fun. Like, you were telling me who was there, but I had no idea who any of those people were.
They're working voice actors.
Yeah. Anything good?
The panels were odd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was better when it was at the university. And I really don't like their new logo. I miss the sharp angular O-wing. Now it's just kind of like fuzzy and soft.
We like our rigid look.
Yeah, I kind of do. I have nice defining lines. But we're not here to complain about Odafest.
We're here to talk about trains.
We're here to talk about trains.
That's right. Two trains. One was a runaway.
And one was a bullet.
Yeah.
So they're here to talk about two movies that are actually surprisingly similar.
Surprisingly. Oh, one more thing. I met a couple people in Mexico when we were there. And the one guy was like super awesome. And he listened to a ton of podcasts. So I gave him our podcast and he said he's going to check it out. So,
and then he killed himself.
And then he found out what this really was.
Guy came down the next morning and he was hanging off the mezzanine.
The mezzanine, sir. So, big shout out to those guys. I don't even know their names. I can't.
That's a terrible shout out.
We met getting drinks and yeah, we were just kind of bullshitting. And then he had a Spittin' Chiclet shirt on, which is a sports podcast. And I was like, oh, I like your shirt. And he's like, oh, you listen to podcasts too? I was like, I have a podcast. And he's like, what?
I have it in my pocket right now.
I was like, I gave him some stickers and everything because I brought some stickers down. And then we met another guy and he listened to the Hogwarts Legacy review while we were there. And he was like, that was not bad. He's like, I'm going to have to check out more of these. I was like, oh man, that's a deep dive.
Hogwarts Legacy is awful, but there's a couple games that came out, which I'm happy to talk about, but let's keep on these tracks.
Which track do we want to go on? The regular one or the bullet one?
Well, let's start off, I guess, with let's go by seniority. So we'll talk about Runaway Train.
Runaway Train.
Why don't you run me through the details of Runaway Train, Scott? What's this movie about? Who wrote the movie?
Akira Kurosawa.
That's beyond absurd, but it's true.
It is very... the whole movie's absurd. I even took notes on this one, Bob, because I was like...
I like to hear these notes.
What is going on in this fucking shit show?
It was very high tech for the age it came in. It was like working at where we work. It was the very far future of the 1970s.
Look at all these notes.
All right, let's hear your notes. I keep most of my notes in my head.
I don't because I have such a terrible memory. But yeah, it was...
What's it about? What's this Runaway Train about?
So it's about two convicts.
It is?
One has been locked up for, like, I want to say 3 years. Like, I'm kind of vague on the starting details because the start's kind of all over the place.
Because there's so many different things happening at the same time.
It's very, yeah, it's jumbled. Very jumbled.
So the conductor's like, oh, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Stop that train! And then they just let it go. And then it gets worse and worse and worse.
So yeah, and it's actually the second movie Danny Trejo's in.
Some people say it's the first, but they
Some
were just
people
saying
say
that.
It's the second, yeah. So I did look into that because I was like, oh, he just plays a boxer. And it's literally like 30 seconds.
Blink and you'll miss it.
And then you wonder what the funniest part about that whole thing was? Is like Danny Trejo is short. And in all the movies you watch with Danny Trejo, he's tall. He is short in this movie. And you're like, oh, shit, he's really tiny in this movie.
You're going to break immersion.
So
he's a hero. He pulled those people out of that burning car. What have you done recently?
Right? Okay, so here is my runaway train notes. Anyways, so it's...
Because it blew your mind? You had to take notes?
Well, I just take notes so I remember. So here's my first one is... music is super intense, but the timing of it is all over the place.
I love the music in that movie. It's absurd.
And here's my example. They're having a conversation about getting out, and then they play dark, ominous music for no reason.
Okay, well how'd you like the music when the two trains are going to hit each other, and they're like the guys on the ground are like, oh, whatever. And the next thing, the train's just slamming into each other. That music is off the walls.
Oh, man. It's... Yeah, it's interesting. John Voth looks just like Bill Burr in this movie. Just like him. It is uncanny.
Maybe they're cousins.
Something. So Al is one of the guys. So there's a part where he's like falling off the train. And it is the most hokey looking thing I've ever seen in a movie. I was like, what is going on here? And they overact. The overacting in this movie is like over the top crossed with Street Fighter. It's unbelievable. Like here's an example. There was a lady dispatcher in a room. Like they have like this weird room.
Like in the main control center,
the
that
train
one there.
Control room. And she's just doing her hair and they're like, oh, we have a runaway train. She's just like, yep, doing my hair.
And then when she walks to the bathroom and like nobody understands the gravity of the situation at all.
Nobody.
I think that's the theme. It's like everybody in this movie is incompetent.
Oh, fuck. It blew me away. So John Voss' character's name is Manny.
Yeah.
And he's like a man's man. And he gets really intense. But it makes no sense when he tries to make a point. He does. He gets like super intense. But then like you're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
My understanding is that the two convicts, they're like, they actually have mental problems and they're not too bright.
That would explain a lot more.
That is my understanding.
But they played John Voth up to be this like super smart guy.
I think that he thinks he's smart. He's like, you watch the whole movie, like, I think he's insane. I think, like, he is literally insane.
He might be, but, like, he just goes off on these tangents on the other guy.
I think that's because he's crazy. Like, see? Having watched the movie, like, when like, the guy, one guy tries to land and falls off the train and gets, like, ground up, he's just like,
right? Like, what is going on?
I think they're both crazy. Like they're beyond.
Hey, man. What's going on?
They got like a weird brother, father, son proxy relationship.
It's awkward. Yeah, the other guy just talks like an idiot, saying random stuff at random times. He's just like, hey, brother.
If they were smart, they wouldn't have been put away for the crimes they committed, and they wouldn't have escaped the way they did. And they would have thought of, like our protagonists, those two, they're not in their full mental facilities or faculties, as some people would say.
So, and then it's got, here's one for you. They just have a phone on the train.
What's wrong with that? Don't you? Hey, is there phones on
there
the train?
There are no phones on a train. I work closely with trains. There are no phones on the train. You're not just like phoning Bill on the train.
I don't believe you that there are no phones on the train. I know there's radios and there's remote controls on the train. I bet you there's a phone somewhere. Next time I'm down working where you are, I'm going to get on that train. I'm going to look for phones.
Now, maybe. In 81, when they made this movie, I highly doubt they were getting the fucking phones on the trains.
I would accept that as just an invention in the movie, but...
It might be possible. Probable. I'd say probable.
I would imagine that you have to have communications somehow. So either have really good radio system.
Well, that's what...
Well, here's my question is, was it an actual phone or was it like a Gatronic phone?
I'm not sure. If people don't understand what we're like referring to when you say Gatronic, it's like a device you can use in
as a radio or a phone or a megaphone.
Yeah, they don't have like good reception. It might be.
They call it the gay phone, but it's the Gatronic phone.
Gatronic phone. It might be, but the way that Gatronics work is that it's all wired into one system.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, for some reason, they have them also wired in the shovels. They're not used. But in theory, couldn't you have a wired system transpond over to another through a wireless connection? They do it all the time with other things.
Maybe.
You need some sort of repeater to peer to bridge the gap, though.
Yeah. So, maybe that's the thing. There's also a part where the train is just cruising and hits the other train.
That's the part where the
explodes the back end of
that's
it.
That's the part where the music starts bumping and kicking. Like, we gotta get that train off the tracks. He goes like, whatever. It's fine. And bam!
We got lots of time. And it hits this fucking other train, and then they both magically stay on the tracks.
Oh, like... I'd accept that. They're both heavy. Just cladding. It's fine.
There's a part where the guy's like, engineers and trains just don't die, man. Who the fuck writes this shit? He's like, let's have some fun. Then claps his hand when talking about capturing John Vaught.
Oh, that's the crazy marshal?
Yeah. He's like, let's have some fun. And he's like, clap, clap. And I'm like.
Yeah, he's also... I would argue he's crazier than the other two because, like, when the guy working under him gets all ground up by the train, he also has a kind of like laughing reaction. Then he immediately gets on the ladder and goes down.
So then, like, right after that, they catch the girl, right? And this was one of the lines. Hello, sweetheart. How would you like a really good fuck? And you're like, nobody talks like this. Nobody.
Well, once again, they're not. I don't think anyone in this movie is a great person.
Also, the snow CGI, the worst thing I've ever seen.
Okay, it wouldn't be CGI at that point.
No, it is CGI, because I looked into it.
It would still be optical analog, right?
Yeah.
So it's not really CGI. It's an optical animation.
You know what I mean, though. But, like, I looked into it, and I guess it was, like, sunny every single day that they filmed this show, and they did it in, like, two different places, one in Montana and one in Alaska. All the parts where it's snowing, it's not snowing. It's just ridiculous. And
they must use some fake snow too when they were doing it.
Here's the other one. It won 2 awards. How did it win 2 Academy Awards?
It's right up there with The Great Escape for me.
For don't you fucking make no, not even close. The Great Escape is one of the best movies ever.
Same with Runaway Train. It's like
I completely.
It's Great Escape, Runaway Train, and then Sound of Music.
And Bill Nye the Science Guy episode 2. And then I was like, I looked into like who the people were. So Eric Roberts is the young kid. That's Emma Roberts from We Are the Millers. And Julia Roberts' brother and daughter. Yeah, I was like, I had no idea. Like he has over 700 acting credits.
He's a working actor.
He's very good. Like he was in Expendables, Dark Knight, the Heroes TV show.
I know, like some people, that's all they do is like act nonstop. It's crazy.
I was kind of really shocked about that. So, honestly, props to Eric Roberts.
Unlike John Veidt, who just gets by on his laurels.
Oh my god. Oh, here's another really good part. The warden putting the guy's head in the toilet. He's like not listening, and he's like, come here, come with me. And he's like, tries to drown the guy. And I was like, it's weird. When they get into it and they're about to fight, but John Vaught drops the knife. I think it just shows that he's changed, but it's just really awkward.
When she bites him, is that when he drops the knife or does he drop the knife before?
No, it's after that. So he gets bit and then he's like, I'm going to kill you to the kid.
And then he drops it.
He just drops it. I was like, what kind of fucking criminal are you? And then he's...
Well, yeah. He does go out of his... Okay, we're butchering the plot here because Scott just keeps jumping around. But so basically convicts get on a train that's a runaway train.
Yeah.
And then Marshall's trying to catch him and then the ending happens. That is the bare bones plot of this movie. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. It's insane, but keep going, Scott.
Are you... Okay, be honest though. How am I doing on my... I'm actually coming up with good stuff.
I like it. I'm kind of just letting you roll with it, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on the ending when you get to it.
Okay, so here's my other one. It's Guy and Chopper. They just smash into the train, and then the other guy's like, "Perfect, I'm gonna go down too." Since the last guy died, what the fuck? They literally like just bounce the guy off the side of the train.
Well, he kind of lands, and he hits, and then he gets over, and then he gets ground up.
I know, and then the other guy's like, "Oh, it's my turn to go down." And starts climbing down.
And then they keep getting the tunnels, and he keeps like, ah!
Yeah, that's I have that next. It says, John Vought freaking out about Frankie. One of my favorite parts was when John Vought's fingers get crushed. Oh, that's rough. I was like, fuck, man, that would have hurt so goddamn bad. Then I got, the ending is great, that John Vought sees himself and the other guy for the scum that they are and how he is humble and happy. For just being free and saves the kid and the girl. Like, honestly, amazing ending, but kind of bullshit till that point.
I do like the ending.
And then it says, John Vought standing on the top of the chain looks hokey as fuck when it's not a close-up. And that's all my points.
So you like the ending.
I did.
I quite enjoyed how much he struggled to save the other two.
Right?
He's just like absolutely psychotic, and then he gets on top of the train and screws the other guy. This is insanity, and I love every minute of it.
It's a different movie. I have not seen a movie like that before. It is, I don't know how to tell people, like, is it?
I think Akira Kurosawa's script may have got some slight changes when they
slightly changed
things
a little.
May not have translated properly.
It's but like, you understand what I mean on all my points.
Yes.
Like, I'm not, it's not like the, what's it called? The freaking, what was the one with Taken that I said I watched, but I kind of just
that was, the cold one. Cold Point, Cold Something.
Cold Something, yeah. Cold Pursuit. That's what it was. But yeah, I really wanted to, like, get a good deep dive on this movie.
Yeah, that was weird with Cold Pursuit when you kept, like, talking about it. I was like, it was a comedy. You're like, what? I was like, yeah, it's a comedy movie. You're like, no, it is.
It's like Cabin in the Woods. If you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods and you watch it and you're like, oh, this is a scary movie. And you're like, wait a second. Why are they betting on this? What the fuck is a merman? Anyways, so there you go. That's my synopsis. I would give it a 2.5.
I'd give it a 3.
Would you?
3 or 4. I'll give it a 3.
I give it 2.5 ghosts out of 5. The ending's great, but it's just all the fucking wonky shit in between that I was like, I don't know how it escalated.
Well, you work near trains. Can you imagine the people you work with letting it get to that point?
That's kind of where I was at with it. I was like, I don't see how this would ever happen.
I bet you one day I get called down and they're like, there's a runaway train headed down the valley.
And Bob's like, I got this. I've seen Runaway Train with John Bopp and Eric Roberts before.
I'll be there on top in the helicopter. I'm like, I ain't going to go down this ladder. I'll rappel down.
Send somebody else down there. He'll die instantly, and then you'll be like, now I need to go down. So there's my synopsis, Bob.
They never stopped that train. It hit that plant.
Well, whatever it was. Yeah, those people died that were inside there. So, I don't know. It definitely ran away. So yeah, the ending, like I said, was really well done.
You thought there was about that wonky shit in the middle was too much.
I enjoyed the ending a lot. Just it was very heartfelt and it felt real. But like all the other shit felt like hokey.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. So that's my take on my Runaway movie.
All right. I guess that leaves me to discuss Bullets.
Bullets.
Bullets are fired out of guns and our main character doesn't like guns.
Doesn't like guns.
All right, so this is a whole movie that essentially is about how Ryan Reynolds is an asshole.
Exactly, I told you.
So, this is a movie that it turns out it's written in the style that, all these unrelated things happen, but then it turns out at the very end that it was all interconnected and everything happened on purpose, except for one big mistake that involves the fact that Ryan Reynolds is an asshole.
Yeah, it's my favorite kind of movie. I'm sorry.
Scott really enjoys it. I don't enjoy it. I'm like, ah, it's okay. I'd watch it again, but it's not.
Okay, Bob, take me through it.
All right.
I'll try and stay quiet.
It's a movie about revenge.
Yep.
And mistaken identity. So I'll just run through the synopsis quick, then we'll talk about it. Okay. So there's a father whose son is thrown off a building. And he's like, oh, I want to know who threw my son off the building. I'll get revenge. So he goes and he meets this girl on a train. And then shenanigans ensue. Enter Brad Pitt.
Enter Ladybug.
Brad Pitt. I'm just going to call him Brad Pitt. I'm not calling him Ladybug.
Call him BP. he goes by BP for his friends. Sorry.
So anyway, he comes onto this train for a quick snatch and grab job. His job is just to grab the suitcase and get off. And that's all it is. And then more shenanigans ensue. Next thing you know, most of the people on the train are dead. Yep. And then they have a standoff with the White Russian.
The White Russian. Yeah.
All right, so though, I'll get into it in more detail. It's insanity. It's absurd. I don't like it. But we'll get through things I liked about it, I guess.
Okay.
First off and foremost, I'm going to talk about the fact that this is a COVID movie.
Yeah.
So it's very limited in scope.
It kind of is, yeah.
And the second thing I'm going to get to is it's a kind of movie where your main character is totally bulletproof and has that plot armor. But it really bothers me in this movie for some reason, specifically because it takes me out of the movie because I can't help but feel that it was Brad Pitt getting what he wanted in this. Like maybe if it was a different actor, it wouldn't bother me so much. But this one particular movie set up, I'm just like, okay, so Brad Pitt just wanted to make a movie and he wanted to have an easy shoot. And he did. He was like, I want my character just to have everything fine happen to them. We're going to make this action comedy and everything's just going to work out Milhouse for me.
Yep.
And that just took me, out of the movie a little bit.
Did it?
When you have one person who just gets everything they want, it breaks my immersion.
Oh, man, I just... But the... Oh, sorry, keep going.
Well, other characters who have that, you know, plot armor, sometimes it's not as noticeable. And it's... If it works for the story, you understand. I understand why they're doing it with the story, but
yeah.
The back part of my mind, I'm still like, this is because Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt. Like, look at all the...
Why are you hating on Brad Pitt? I like the fact of that he's nicknamed Ladybug because of how lucky he is. Or
unlucky.
So he says he's unlucky.
And then it's because everyone else, you make everyone around you lucky because you take all their bad luck.
Yes. And it was him getting it, his luck, finally. Does that make sense?
I've watched it. It's baloney. It's baloney spinomoni. It's lazy writing.
It's not lazy writing, Bob. It took it.
There's Scott. He's like, this is the greatest movie ever made.
Sorry. Keep going.
All right. So I'm just going to, like I say, work my way through it with things I like and I don't like.
I'm trying to not talk because
If you feel like something you got to say, jump on in.
Okay.
All right. Jump on in. I can see you're chomping at the bit.
No, I was curious. All right. Like,
now, the girl, Prince... As it were, everybody has a code name in this movie. Yeah. It's absurd.
I like the code.
She really freaks me out in this movie because she gives me that uncanny valley effect. There's something weird about her hair and makeup.
Yes,
it makes you really anxious. It gives you that something is wrong. Something is wrong.
Something's off about her. Yeah,
and I feel that was intentional because I've seen her in other movies, and I feel that makeup or whatever CG they've done was intentional to make people like unsettled.
Maybe. I never ever thought about it.
Well, you got.
Yeah, understand what you mean. She
looked like too much like a doll or plastic.
She has that presence about her. Yeah. No, I agree.
Totally. Other movies, nothing look a thing like that. So I'm thinking it was done purposely to make you at ease. Like, ugh, something's not right here.
She's a diesel.
Shut up, Thomas.
You were the best ever. You were Thomas. Sorry.
God, this movie. I gotta work my way through all of it that I dislike and don't dislike. I feel even though it was a, I'm doing air quotations when I say COVID, I feel that's important that I need to point that out.
No, for sure it is.
So even though it's a COVID movie, I feel like the, ironically, there was too many characters and they were not developed enough and some were too developed. And
I agree.
For an ensemble cast, it seemed like for example, the Mexican Bandito, you get his origin story, how he grew up, how he got further up in the ranks in the gang.
And then he was dead.
And then he was dead, bam, just like that.
Same with the one in the costume, the lady in the costume.
Yeah, she just like killed everybody on the train, gets her backstory, and then bam, dead.
Right? I feel like Orange and Tangerine had great backstories.
Well, yeah, because like they're, I hate what happened to them, and I hate their story, and I hate their characters, but they were, they're like tri-terry protagonists.
Yeah. You hated them?
Well, I hate the whole situation. It's just, I'm going to get into this.
Keep going, sorry.
Well, as long as we're complaining about them, I'm going to complain about Orange.
Okay.
I'm going to complain about Orange and his gun, Lucille. There's a lot of editing mistakes in their little gun battle in the seat that really pissed me off and also broke my immersion. And when I saw that, I was like, there's no way they could be that incompetent. And they just ruined my whole mood for the movie. Okay, so when him and Brad Pitt are fighting, and Brad Pitt kind of just knocks the magazine out and drops it, and then they start fighting over control of the one in the chamber. In one of the scenes, you can clearly see the magazine is still in the magwell before he tries to put the magwell back in.
Oh, yeah, that would kind of throw you off.
These are the kind of things that I notice.
I know you notice these things.
And I'm just like, they filmed that, and nobody said a fucking word.
Not a word. They were like, we'll do it in post.
Like, just a nice simple, you have an action scene that's like a set piece like that, and you fuck it up. It makes you start looking at other things.
Yeah. So you noticed a bunch of stuff like that then.
Oh, I'm a whiner.
I'm a whiner, he says.
I'm not going to bring them all up because I'm not that mean, but I'll go out and say there's a bunch of mistakes.
I could see that.
The one character I enjoyed the most is the bottle of water. I think his story was the most fleshed out.
He was real refreshing.
He took a guy out. He took another guy out. He survived the whole movie.
Right? Oh, man.
Water bottle, MVP.
MVP. Ryan Reynolds, 10 out of 10.
Oh, fuck Ryan Reynolds. This whole movie happened because Ryan Reynolds is an asshole.
Yeah.
Everyone is dead because Ryan Reynolds is an asshole.
Yep. I kind of like the pretty much the end. Just when they get ready for...
When they get to Kyoto?
Yeah, when everybody gets on the train.
What do you think about the two henchmen that are like, it's a bomb, it's going to blow up, it's a bomb. And then they open the case anyhow.
I know. You're like, what the fuck are you guys doing? I just really, I don't know. There is something very me about it.
Oh, so it's like a movie for filthy casuals. Yes, yes,
that's
exactly.
You made it, Bob. But does it not?
I guess.
What are your biggest three complaints?
The whole movie.
The whole movie.
Okay, so the whole Prince surviving until the very end is annoying. I know why they did it, but still, I kind of liked Orange and Tangerine as a duo. So when they break them up, I'm just like, I was like, Brad Pitt, you just suck. You suck for killing Tangerine.
I was very sad. I love it.
I liked their dynamic between Tangerine and Brad Pitt. When they hate each other so much, but they got to work together. And they open the suitcase.
He opens the case and it falls open. And he's like, I told you not to bring the case.
It's a comedy. And I imagine they had fun making it. So that's a plus side. It seems like everybody who made the movie at least enjoyed themselves making it from what you can see.
I agree. Like the dynamic between Brad Pitt and Tyler Johnson. And the gentleman that played Tangerine or Orange.
Orange.
Man, that was such a nice, like, they just had good repertoire. Like,
they had good chemistry.
Very good acting chemistry. I would love to see a movie with those three.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, get rid of everybody else. Put Michael Shannon in it. Okay.
Put John Voight in it.
Put John Voight in it. He'll be like...
But no, it was... Basically, the whole plot turns out the White Russian got everybody on the train in order to kill them to get his revenge.
Yeah.
And then he's about to kill Brad Pitt. He calls him by Ryan Reynolds' name. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he's mistake. Like, that's not me. He's like, what? I want to say that he even says, huh? Or something along those lines. And he's like, ah, whatever. I'm going to kill you anyways.
It was all right.
What was your favorite moment? Or like ongoing theme? Like, what was your favorite? What was your favorite thing about the movie? If you had to pick one, maybe that dynamic?
I would say the dynamic, I guess, between the threes.
Yeah.
Tangerine and orange. And I guess the other part I also enjoy, which is just stupid, is when Prince is standing there and gets ran over by the truck full of tangerines.
It's so perfect because she was a diesel.
And Tangerine got his revenge through...
karma. I agree.
Things that annoy me. More. Yes. Let's get more into that. Yeah, no, let's get sure. more into things that honestly. Annoy me. All right, Kel. So you have Prince turn the gun into a bomb.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you must know a thing or two about firearms, Scott.
I know a thing or two about firearms, Bob.
So how would that work?
You file down the pin, Bob.
You file down the firing pin. That makes it go full auto, right?
Yeah.
Or does it make it never shoot ever again? One of those two things will happen.
We never know what it could be, but you should try it at home.
Pro tip for any gun owners at home, take out your firing pin and file it down, I don't know, just a couple thousand, and it'll be fine. It'll be right fine. On the tip, right on the hardened tip, right just file it down. It looks right. You need a micrometer to tell, but the gun won't shoot. It's Mark Wahlberg in this movie.
What are you talking about?
Okay, so how would you turn that gun into a bomb that shoots the bullet out backwards?
It doesn't work that way.
The gun, you could put it so the gun blows up in his hand, sends shrapnel everywhere. How are you going to send a bullet right back through the hammer and all the mechanics?
You're not. I noticed that 100% right off the bat. I was like, no matter what that little bomb does, the bullet still goes forward. You have
or if you blocked it off, your pressure would just blow shrapnel.
Yeah, it would just blow it
you're
up.
You're not going to have the bullet go backwards.
And shoot him in the head. No, you'd have to have a fucking barrel pointed. It doesn't work that way.
You'd have to have like a whole new upper that was just all fake and like plastic on the outside and the hammer would do nothing and you'd have electrical wiring inside and that is clearly not what you did.
Definitely not. I get the plot holes, Bob. I'm 100% in for the plot holes, though.
He's 100% in. All right, the next one would be the poisoning with Brad Pitt.
One of my favorite parts.
When the needle goes into his hand, the plunger doesn't actually move, meaning at that point, Brad Pitt had no poison.
I noticed that, too. That is one thing I definitely noticed.
But then when he takes the antidote, he's ready for when the snake bites him. So yeah. He's like, I already had a shot of the antidote. I hope that's fine.
Right? But I like it when it drops, or she stabs him in the hand, and he just grabs it and just stabs her, but he presses it.
Yes.
So I don't think, maybe he dies eventually. Well, no, because it's only...
No, he at that point, he didn't have any poison, but then when the snake bites him, he already had the antidote already.
Anti-venom, yeah.
But that's, I'm just like, okay, so he had no poison already, he just took it as a precaution for no reason.
I love how sincere he is when he kills somebody, and he's like, aw. Oh, dang, that's gonna hurt. Oh, I'm sinister like that.
Tangerine getting back into the bullet train was also baloney, but...
going through the fucking thing, the window, but yeah. I know. I understand how... I understand all the qualms with it, Bob, how bullshit it is. But, like, I don't know, there's just something... It just had a certain je ne sais quoi.
I was waiting for you to start speaking French, Frenchie.
I said chowda.
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 No, it had its moments, but it's not my kind of movie, I guess. I would prefer, you know, Five Alive plus.
Oh, man, that's such a good movie. I could watch that one again. Maybe that'll be our next movie, Five Alive plus.
Maybe.
Scale?
I'd give it a 3 to 5. There's more I would talk about, but like It is what it is.
It's kind of like Bullet Train.
I'm glad they had fun making it from the look of it, and I'm glad they had fun, and they made a movie. It's entertaining for most people.
I'm kind of happy that we both picked movies, and we have very similar kind of takes on both of them.
I quite enjoyed seeing Japan in the shots, like when the train's leaving Akiba, and you look over.
Beautiful. See, like, honestly, like, very beautiful shots.
I did have someone talk to me, like, oh, yeah, that movie, it was like when the bullet train's going through Tokyo, it's great. It's like, first of all, if a bullet train was just going through Tokyo and that was the whole movie, that'd be a bullet train goes 300 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, that's a 6-minute movie.
It's not just, they're not in Tokyo the whole time. They're going from Tokyo to Kyoto.
Yeah, that's how long is that?
About the length of the movie.
Is it really?
Yes. That's something I laughed about. Is that
you were kind of like, wow, they actually kind of did time it out right.
Depending on stops and other things, yeah, it's about 3 hours to get to Osaka. So, you know.
Because you had said to me, I remember you had said in the last podcast we did, you were like, really? So does it all take, is it all in Tokyo? And I was like, I'm not sure. But, like, you've been there, so obviously you know, like, oh, it went all the way to Kyoto. Like,
yes.
That's a trek.
Yes, that's the old capital. It's out in, you know, it's down that way. You got Nara, that wonderful town that Shinzo Abe got shot in, and then you got Osaka and Kyoto, and they get the little triangle there.
It's a love triangle.
I'll never get over Shinzo Abe getting shot in Nara. That's something going to haunt me the rest of my life.
I'm happy you enjoyed it. You didn't give it a 2.5. Though, like I said, I think that these movies are very. We have similar takes on each other's movies. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I feel like, so you like Bullet Train? You said you'd give it a 3.
Yeah, I'd give it a 3.
3.5. You said 3 to 4. Or not Bullet Train? Sorry.
Runaway.
Runaway Train. Yeah.
I like movies. Even though I'm criticizing Bullet Train with all its baloney, I think at its core, even though I didn't like parts of it, who cares what I think? It's not a bad movie.
Yeah, and that's the way I felt about Runaway Train. Like Bullet Train should have never been nominated for any awards.
It got nominated?
No, I don't think it did. I'm just saying, like, but I feel the same way about Runaway Train, where I don't think it should have gotten nominated for awards. But on the other side of that, I get that it was like you were saying, it was like an up and coming, like they did a lot of stuff that hadn't been done before in that movie.
I'll play devil's advocate for a moment with both Runaway Train and Bullet Train. I have my problems with Bullet Train, right?
Yeah.
Consider it with other movies that have been released this year. And in the same year as Bullet Train, it is head and shoulders above some of them that have been nominated for awards.
Okay. So now that we've both watched both these movies, whatever, you know how I said that was my movie of the year?
Yes.
Do you get why it was?
I don't agree, but I understand.
See? I don't know. It's just, it had that, like I said, I didn't think you were going to like be head over heels with it. But I thought you would find something in it.
Well, someone pointed out to me, they're like, Brad Pitt, you know, he's an okay actor, but has he ever been in like a really good movie? And I had to sit there and think about it.
In a really good movie? Benjamin Button was really good, actually.
You backwards aging bastard.
I enjoyed Benjamin Button a lot. But yeah, I can't think of... Well, no, I like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That is a very good movie.
You Tarantino loving.
Yeah, exactly. I like pretty much everything Tarantino has come out with.
You're one of those history revisionists that think that Hitler was killed in a movie theater and that
he might have been.
And the history history went down the way that Quentin Tarantino. That's the problem is Quentin Tarantino makes great movies, but some people that watch it think that the movies
they
he makes
right
are
into it.
They're like documentaries. They're like, oh. So this is how
this
it went.
This is what happened. They had a guy called the Bear Jew. Real dude.
That's a real problem when people don't understand that it's fiction.
I'm a huge fan of Tarantino, and like I like Christopher Waltz, and Waltz is in a lot of his movies. So I really enjoy the Tarantino movies. Like
Django is one of my all-time favorites. There is a scene with the dogs that is the worst thing I've ever seen in any movie, and I will skip that part every time I watch that movie.
He skips it 50% of the time, every 100%
time. 100% of the time. Yeah. No, it's just, it's a rough scene to watch. It's very rough to watch. So, but
it involves dogs and it's
rough. Yeah. If you've seen it, you get what I'm saying. So yeah, no, I really had an enjoyable time watching that.
Yeah. So we'll have to watch more movies about trains. They're very exciting.
We'll be watching Thomas the Train. We'll have to start giving them a like
Diesel,
a Diesel or what's the other guy? Percy, because they're calling it a Percy movie or something.
This movie's full of Percys.
It's no longer the BNS Awesome Podcast. It's the Train Crew.
Train Watchers.
It's the BNS Train Watchers.
What's that? No, it's Train Spotting. That's the one where they do all those drugs.
Yeah, that's the one they do the drugs. Train Spotting 1 and 2, Bob. I guess this is where we're going with this.
Aye, aye, aye.
No. I don't know what's up next. What do you want to do next?
Well, we could probably talk about games. I could probably force you to play some video games through, and then you can talk about 10th edition of a tabletop game that you don't play, but you have some miniatures for.
Ah, some Warhammer.
It'll be horrible, and I'll force you to do it.
Video games? What's going on with video games? Have you been playing video games?
I have not played Resident Evil 4, but I own it, the remake.
That's right. He doesn't play games. He just looks at them on a shelf.
And Bolt Gun just came out. I've been itching to play that.
Bullet Gun?
Bolt Gun.
Bolt Gun.
It's like in the vein of Doom. It's a sequel to Space Marine, the first one.
Oh.
It's a little Doom-esque shooter going on that's going to bridge the gap, supposedly, between, you know, Space Marine and Space Marine 2.
Interesting.
I know, you're just up on your Warhammer.
I'm 100% up on 40K N29 Vector Edition. That's right.
He's lying. He's lying.
I know nothing. I like painting the little miniatures because I'm a nerd. It's fun and I enjoy it, okay? I tried playing the game once. I've played one game.
Who'd you play with?
My buddy Matt. But I was like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
What edition are you playing? 8th? 9th?
9th.
Fuck 9th.
Fuck 9th.
I started in 3rd. 4th was okay. 5th was okay. 7th was okay. I'm looking forward to see how 10th does.
Well, I have figures. We can play 10th.
What do you got? Space Yiffs?
Yep, yeah, Space Wolves.
Space Wolves. It's a damn shame.
But I don't support Games Workshop. So, whichever faction you would like, I have a 3D printer and I will print it.
For legal reasons, I am not associated with Scott in this particular regard.
Fuck Games Workshops. I mean, I buy all my figures from my local game store.
God, we live in an empty valley up in the woods. There are no game stores.
It's called my basement. Wouldn't that be cool if I owned a game store? Nobody would come in this fucking shithole.
Well, I have enough miniatures to open a game store, so.
Yeah, that's true. We should open a game store, Bob.
Yep, we'll sell printed minis.
I feel like that's where it's at. It's where the real money's at. Anyways,
3D printing will destroy industries, but I'll keep buying some plastic crack to keep those jerks in business.
if they lowered their prices, I'd be interested. Well, the logistics of printing it makes me go, why are we paying this much?
The prices are whacked, like you say, it's absurd.
You're paying $169 for 6 minis.
Here's the thing. I'll just point this out. I have extensive bits from years ago because I got like thousands of miniatures, blah, 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 blah. I could buy a 10-man unit of Primaris Intercessors or whatever for the $50 and then use the bits to convert them into these other models that cost like $50 per box for an individual miniature. So that's kind of like bullshit.
I agree. That's fucking insane. So.
Why is one? It's literally, why is one miniature cost the same as a box of 10? And the box of 10 is an inflated price already.
You're paying $100 for a box of 10.
$50, depending.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing and you want to support Games Workshop and not play the absurd prices, you could buy stuff. But at that point, if you're just working around their greed to try to support them, even though they're doing bad things, it's like, wait, why am I doing
honestly,
this?
Honestly, to build a decent, like decent, I'm not saying good, I'm saying half, even half decent army, you're in the realm of $600-$700.
Perhaps, but, you know, I could make an army for, well, I got all those extra bits. I could make an army for...
Brand new off the shelf.
Brand new off the shelf?
How much could to make an army?
Well, if I was going to be smart about how many points...
I'm not sure how the points work.
Well,
it's an average game. 4,000?
No, that's crazy. The average games they got nowadays, it's like 500, 1,000, 2,000. That range.
Okay, so say 2,000.
Okay. I would get... probably do it for under two.
Under two?
Under. I'd get a box of Intercessors. Probably a box of Crusaders. And then, I don't know, maybe Close Combat Intercessors. And with that, you could make...
No wagons?
Well, you could get one of those value-added boxes if you wanted to get something to ride in, but I wouldn't really need... Here's a... With all those bits you could get with that, you could make an army. You wouldn't. Here's the thing is, nowadays they have, you know, you get a box of miniatures. You're just supposed to like assemble it the way they want you to, and that's it. There's no creativity or any other options. If you really want to convert and do things, you could just take those boxes, make out miniatures that aren't in the box, and you're golden. Yeah. You know what? It's like, I need a lieutenant. Well, I'll just take this Crusader bit and I'll put it on this guy. There you go, there's my lieutenant.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, for a kid, like a young kid, like I have young kids, my boy's gonna be
20. Oh yeah, those prices are going out the window. It's crazy.
You can't start that game unless your parent played or you have a job. Like, we want,
when I started back in the day, they had like starter sets. Yeah. Even. And it wasn't as... You get like a whole Tyranid starter army for what? Like 800 bucks?
Well, like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, if Games Workshop wants people to keep playing their games, like, right now, they don't care about the young market. They
have that's the thing is, someone's pointed out, the way the Games Workshop is doing things now, the models are actually secondary in profit. They really... When you go online, everything's out of stock because then they've cut production back, supposedly.
Yeah.
And all their money's coming in from, like, IPs for novels and fucking video games.
It's stupid. Like, sorry to get off on a tangent about this stuff. I'm just trying to, like, I want my kids to eventually get into, like, this stuff that we do. Because I enjoy it. You enjoy it.
You're going to get them to take down trains with masks on like a bandit?
Maybe. Maybe. But, like... It's same with D&D. D&D is going through a bunch of shit right now with
there's a lot of problems.
Oh, man. They're like, we didn't do anything. And then they're like, oh, no, we did all this. We're sorry. Here's some free dice on the Beyond app. What the fuck? Like, D&D is like, it's ridiculous, too. To get your three books, so you get your core rule, what your player's handbook, Dungeon Master's Guide, and your Monster's Guide. I would say to have a group of people play, you're going to need all those books. Right? Roughly. You can get them online. Not saying where or anything, but you can get them online for free.
It's ho! Ha! Running down the waves.
But
running, eating barley and all your other grains.
Which kids don't have $59 to go get this stuff?
No.
We work in a very lucrative job. Like, for our area, it's the best money you can make where we are. We can hardly afford to pay $69 for a book, $70 for a book. It's crazy. Like, all these fucking places are just draining. They're killing themselves.
Oh yeah, like the economy's gonna crash. I mean, that's a spoilers
alert. But then, like. So here's a retrospect for the D&D one, Pathfinder, which is, I don't think it's a better game. I think it's a less, I'm not a fan of Pathfinder.
Why don't you just play GURPS like everybody else?
Yeah. But
Pathfinder. Yeah, that's a hard cut. GURPS.
Yeah. Pathfinder is $50 for the book, core rule book. It's huge. But that's all you need to play. That's it. You don't need anything else. I think that's, like, they're not telling creators that they can't publish their shit. I'm so mad about the D&D stuff.
If that makes you mad, wait till you realize what C11 was all about.
Oh man. So yeah, anyways, we're still grumpy about dumb stuff.
We're still grumpy and we're still old and we're getting grumpier and we're getting older.
See you next time on Grumpy Old Men 2. Grumpy Old Men. What the hell? What the hell was that guy's name?
Which one?
Either of them. Anyways, Grumpy Old Men reference. I don't know. Insert it here. BNS Awesome Podcast. See ya.
Bye-bye.